Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on this wonderful Wednesday episode.
Wonderful Wednesday, indeed, Muad'Dibs.
Muad'Dibs. Still joined by friend of the show, Liz. Liz, how you doing? Thanks for sticking around for a whole week with us.
Yeah, we're on Wednesday.
We, I think some of our very, very early episodes tried to make it seem like we did one of these per day instead of like a group at a time.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I did this because I thought it would be funny. And we'll, now it just comes up as a dumb joke occasionally.
Yes.
Mostly when we have guests.
I remember this pod in its infancy. So.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, the yeah,
Liz,
days.
Liz has been around since the inception of the Dune Minute.
Pre-pod, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. So, how about we get into this? Because we just left off with some pretty firm directions from Paul to his Fedaiken. He says, take the prisoners to their bedrooms, to the residency, and kill the Sardaukar.
And
give the bear into the desert.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Clear, concise.
I mean, hey, that's what you want. That's what you want out of a leader. You know,
I love a task list.
Sure.
I love being able to check things off and mark them as complete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just having three concise tasks like that. Beautiful. Love it.
Oh, man.
I think I'd have to break these up into smaller subtasks, personally.
That's the manager's job. Paul is the director level. He's giving them, you know, broad strokes.
Broad
stroke direction. It's the manager's job to figure out all the individual tasks that go into those larger ones.
Yes.
Like, for instance, did they just make Shaddam and Irulan and all of them walk across the desert? Did they fly them across the desert? Who knows?
Not Paul's problem. As long as it gets there.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, this is whatever. I was watching a video last night, 20-minute video about whether how the NPCs in Red Dead Redemption get home back to their place of origin where they say they're going to meet you. And that's all I'm thinking about right now is just like the Emperor and Irulan aimlessly walking across the desert. Making strange moves because you're not supposed to be watching what they're doing. They're just supposed to be there when you get there.
Yeah.
Is that a thing that happens? And I don't know this game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it exists. Obviously I'm not dumb, but like I've never played it.
I haven't played it. I watch other people do their hobbies, their intensive hobbies online for entertainment. So that was one of them.
That's fair. I thought that they would just like bloop and like auto-populate in a place.
Nope.
See, you would think, but no, they are in existence the whole time.
Yeah, no, Rockstar really like, they build their worlds out with so much detail and everything. Like even like you will see a character, you will see in Red Dead because it's like turn of the century, end of the cowboy era, right? You go to basically a New Orleans equivalent in this world and you have like horses and buggies and everything. You will see a horse in a buggy, you know, going down the street. The horse will shit. A person will walk across the street and you'll either see them like deliberately step over the horse shit or step in it by accident. Stop, look down at their shoe and like scrape their shoe out. Yeah. Like the amount of detail that they put into that kind of stuff is
That's really
crazy.
Cool. That's so awesome. Well, give us GTA 6.
They're doing that.
I would like it now.
Chances are.
Do they have a release date for it?
It's in May.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, in May for consoles, who knows when it's going to be out on PC, which makes me sad.
Have not played one since Vice City, so.
Chances are the electrical grid is pretty accurate in the game as well.
Yeah.
Really?
Based on their other games, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. We love the detail like that.
Yes, as an avid gamer, you're welcome for that information.
I have no segue, so I will just say No. We're talking about minute 142 through 143 today.
We left off with Paul getting ready to, you know, give a big old shoulder pad onto one of his Fedaiken, and surprise, that's where we pick right back up.
And what a payoff it is.
Yeah, it's just a nice little pat on the shoulder. And I don't know if you noticed, but when he does it, there's a little poof dust cloud that pops off of the...
That's a nice little bit of detail.
Yeah. I can only imagine for how long after filming these movies, Timothy Chalamet was finding dust either in his hair or in, like, you know, the, like... parts of his ear that are like loopy and everything all on top of each other. I don't know the actual anatomy of the ear and what all of the little crevices in our ears are called, but you know what I mean.
The folds in your ear.
Sure. That, you know,
the loopy bits. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. This just got me thinking of,
what do you think the Q-tip budget was like?
Hopefully zero, because you're not supposed to use them like that. Or no, cleaning the loopy bits, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Not, don't go in the ear.
Oh, but it feels so good.
Over my dead body, will they take Q-tips from me?
Yeah, no. That, I like the brain scratch. Oh, ugh. I mean, you don't fucking poke your eardrum. You just get the inside of your ear canal.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right.
You're just telling me that the inside of your ear canals are just all waxy and gross?
No, they're not. Okay. John, okay. we're talking about this.
I'm so glad we're talking about earwax.
So it's a genetics thing, John. Some people have wet earwax. Some people's earwax clump up and fall out.
Oh, all right. Well,
I'm a clumper.
Damn.
Yeah.
Like cat litter.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So no, I don't have to do that very often, if at all.
No. Well, I guess I lost.
Some of us are chosen, I guess. Like,
I mean, hey, do what you will, whatever. I don't have that brain scratchy itch thing. Maybe I'll try it when I get home, just to see what, see what the hype's about.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we get one Fremen who goes, "Oh, Muad'Dib."
Yeah. He does, "Oh, Muad'Dib." And then everyone else is, "Muad'Dib."
Yeah, he starts the chant. I just love that they made sure to put it in the subtitles. "Oh, Muad'Dib." And the Fremen who got the shoulder pat is... again, staring hard at the Sardaukar, and they're aiming the swords at him. And we get one like little last round of ECUs. We go from Gaecil and Moheim to the Emperor. They're all kind of looking slightly more concerned right now.
They're still kind of mean mugging Paul a little bit.
Yeah, I got the notion that their demeanors have softened a little bit. Not their like the steely cold stares that we had initially. Now they're just like, "Oh, what the fuck's going on?" That's how I read it anyways.
Maybe.
Yeah. I have them as still kind of stoic here, but perhaps more labored in their stoicism.
Sure.
We're not here long, though, because we fast forward a couple hours. It's now dark outside, and we're following some ornithopters as they're flying over explosions happening within the city of Arakeen. And we see this giant, like, diamond-shaped plaza kind of situation going on. And these ornithopters just start firing their airburst shotguns down onto the ground.
Just indiscriminately. Just firing at anyone who's in there in this little, like, plaza area. Did y'all get a weird sense of scale in this moment?
Yeah. Like the bodies are either too small or the seat or the roof is too low or something. That something is weird about it.
And the ornithopters, as they're like flying around, I couldn't get a sense of like how big the structures they're flying past are.
Yeah.
It looked like the aircraft should have been a lot smaller in the scene. Yeah. It just felt weird.
Or they should have been higher up. I don't, something was off with it.
Yeah.
Or it was just a tiny plaza.
But then the people would have been too small inside the plaza.
As much as we pat Denis Villeneuve on the back for his mastery of sense of scale, this is once where it kind of failed me a little bit.
A little bit. I don't know if you noticed, though, for the first time, I think, in this entire movie, we see what I would presume are Harkonnen soldiers with their shields on.
Hey!
Because you can, as you're watching the, you know, ornithopters blasting into the crowds, you can see the speckle of the blue and red shields and everything going off. And as we know, the Fremen wouldn't be using the shields because the shields drive the worm into
a big no-no. A
big old frenzy.
Not true in this moment, because they specifically said that they were using shields to deter against laser gun attacks in the books. They told the Fremen to use shields in this instance.
Which I was, okay.
Yeah, so let me pick a nit.
Look. I had my opportunity to shut you down. I did. You had your opportunity to shut me down. You did. Everyone wins. Liz gets to watch us fight.
Yeah, I remain a neutral third party.
No, that I thought that was an interesting thing from the books, is that they do specifically say we're using shields in the city so that they don't bust out the laser guns on us, basically. Mm. Mutually assured destruction.
Sure. Everyone loves a little, just a casual nuclear explosion on a Thursday night.
We love it. I think it's important to note here that while the ornithopters are, you know, firing into this crowd, people are not running away.
No, they're still
they're running
full steam ahead
into the chaos.
Yeah.
Which I was expecting them, if these were just like civilians on the ground, to, for them to start to scatter and everything. But no, this is a fight. This is the Fremen versus the Harkonnen / Sardaukar. I don't know exactly who is who right there. Probably a mix.
I would assume at this point it's all Harkonnen, because all the Sardaukar are probably dead at this point.
maybe so.
Which is wild on so many levels.
Yeah. Well, Duncan Idaho said it best, they fight like demons.
They fight like demons, that's right.
And Duncan Idaho had never come so close to dying before until he fought a Fremen.
Yep.
And as we know, Duncan Idaho beat the shit out of some Sardaukar. So
we cut to ground level. And we get to see a lot more of this, like, hand-to-hand combat.
Absolute chaos.
That's going on, yeah. The gunfire that we saw from the air, we can kind of see that in the background still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we get a little bit closer of a view of these little puffs of blue from the shields. And that Atreides banner just still flying high in the sky.
Music is triumphant as fuck.
Right?
I wish that they had brought back the bagpipes.
Oh my God.
Do you not hear them a little bit here?
No.
I thought it was reminiscent of them. It's not them, but the music here, or maybe that's Tomorrow's that I'm thinking of. I think Gurney gets a little bit of bagpipe action.
Maybe. Maybe in Tomorrow's.
Okay.
So I watched part one last night, so it's very like in my head right now.
Yeah. Sure. Speaking of Gurney.
There he is.
We get him.
The ugliest man in the universe.
The rolling ugly man of Gurney Halleck is just chewing through these Harkonnen soldiers.
Having the time of his life.
He is as happy as Stilgar on a worm. And interesting to note, some of the Sardaukar are in helmets. Some of them are not.
Harkonnen.
What did I say?
Sardaukar.
Oh, I'm sorry. Some of the Harkonnen are in helmets. Some of them are not. Don't know if that means anything, but I figured all of them should be in helmets.
Well, they're all going to be in debt.
Well,
you'd want a helmet.
Proper protection. We need to have, you know, PPE on at all times.
OSHA's watching.
Yes, yes. Gurney's looking a little rough for wear here. He's been through some shit, looks like.
He's a little bloodied.
A little bit bloodied.
Probably not his blood.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully,
yeah. He's definitely caked in like dust and sweat and blood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, his armor has definitely seen better days for sure.
Yeah. I gotta admit something to y'all. This last, like, you know, what, 15, 20 seconds of this movie, or this minute, really didn't enjoy this.
What?
This is almost like an epileptic thing to me, because there's so many people running in between the position of the camera and Gurney, what you're supposed to be looking at. Yeah. And I understand it's just to denote chaos, and it's an artistic choice. I understand that. But it's happening so fast.
Yeah, you're only getting like little glimpses of Gurney.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I can't watch this, you know, second by second for very long. In the normal pacing of the movie, it's not a big deal.
Sure. I agree with that. And I didn't bother to do my super second by second analysis because you can't see half the shit that's happening. So, yeah.
Now, let's draw our attention to, I'm going to go ahead and spoil it, my favorite person out of the stretch of minutes.
Gurney Halleck?
No, not Gurney Halleck.
The guy holding the flag.
The dude staying 3 feet behind Gurney, just holding the flag, doing no fighting.
Yep.
Just holding the flag, keeping pace with Gurney.
Gotta love have it. Your hype, man.
Gosh, I, well, what a,
all
what a
he's,
job.
All he's missing is just a JBL around his neck.
Right. You know, and he's putting in the amount of work that we have come to expect out of Glow Globes.
Oh, that's a lot.
I'm saying it's high praise because he's doing, look at the chaos around him.
Yeah.
And for him to stay just that adequate distance away from Gurney, that's a Glow Globe characteristic, my friend. Mm. He's following and doing his job no matter what's going on.
That, you know what?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't that get like true. Run into or anything.
Yeah.
He's just eyes Banner on guy. The prize. Yeah.
On is Banner Guy an honorary Glow Globe?
I don't know if he's an honorary Glow Globe. I respect him a lot. I can't hype him up as much as I can hype up a Glow Globe, though.
I'm not saying he's a full Glow Globe. I'm just saying, you know, we're not going to get another one for the movie, so I'm just trying to reach here.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. Tell you what, I'll give him an honorary bachelor's, but not an honorary doctor's in Glow Globology.
I think that's fair.
Globalism.
Globology.
The word you're thinking of is globalism.
So I just wanted to make sure that we drew special attention to that guy because I fucking love that guy.
The calm right. in the storm. He's keeping it together.
And I guess like for actual function, he is probably denoting where the Atreides like front line is.
Sure. It would stand to reason that Gurney is, you know,
yeah.
the front line. But.
Right. So that's his job. But I just love the dedication that he's doing it. And he's doing it with such grace. So good guy. Good guy there.
He's beauty. He's grace. He's an honorary Glow Globe.
That's right. And the very last shot of this minute is of Gurney beginning to step kind of out of the general chaos.
Mm-hmm.
We see the area ahead of him is lit up, orange, glowing. But we don't see exactly what's happening because someone steps in front of the fucking camera for the last second, or the last frame even, because I did your bullshit thing where I checked it frame by frame. And it's just, we just get black figure in front of the, but not total black, because you can still see around the person.
Yeah, you can still see all the fire and everything.
Eclipse, yeah.
Well, I was like, okay, cool, great. Thanks, love it.
Yeah, not a fan of the constant people running, you know, back and forth between Gurney and the camera, but
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
This just seemed a little too long to me.
Mm-hmm.
That this scene was like, yeah, they're having combat.
Yeah.
They're sure having combat.
Gurney's a badass. We get
Gurney's
it.
Gurney's just plowing through people, as is his wont. And then it ends. You're like, okay.
We got to show that he is a capable soldier. He's a capable fighter. He is, I mean, he has his whole life of pent up rage at the Harkonnens.
He's just taking it all out right now.
Yep. He's being as brutal as they were to him. That's how he says it.
Probably not as brutal. Yeah, probably not as brutal. Like, they really fucked his life up hard.
Yeah, significantly fewer pleasure houses in the Atreides camp.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's good that he was not as brutal as the Harkonnens.
That's good. Yeah, I
because that he maintains some level of honor.
Yeah. But he's no mercy, though. I mean, did the Harkonnens know how to fight at all?
I don't think so.
Because we only see them really just get like
totally just rolled over. Yeah.
Yeah. Just run through.
I think the only time we saw any kind of. Yes. Okay. So in the spice harvester scene, we saw some competency in combat, but it was in like a 2-on-1 situation.
Right.
I don't think they're capable of winning a 1v1 at all.
And this might be like conscripts, not their elite fighting force. Because if the Baron brought all of their army to Arrakis here,
yeah,
this might be the people who are just like drafted into the service.
I feel like that's just everyone on Gady Prime.
Fair.
Yeah. Well... It's a rough time to be a Harkonnen, for sure.
Things are heating up.
They are. We're going to see a lot more fire and explosions.
I love a good fire and explosion. But you'll have to come back tomorrow for that.
Let's do it.
All right. In the meantime, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. We will see you tomorrow for a Thursday episode. Maybe something will happen. I don't know.
I think they're setting us up for something cool. We'll see.
See you later.
See ya.
See ya.